Welcome to The Introverted Apostle, the podcast for Christian introverts who love Jesus and their faith, but struggle with the social side of church life. I am Roman Asbill, a proud introvert.
And I'm David Wilson, equally introverted and proud of it.
Here we'll explore what it means to live out our faith as introverts, finding peace in community, purpose in service, and strength in stillness.
We are not psychologists or theologians, just two guys who overthink for fun and decided to hit record while doing it. In today's episode, we're diving into the power of one-on-one connections. So, grab your coffee, settle in, and join us on this quiet journey of faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, please open our eyes, ears, heart, and mind to your word. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. On today's episode, we have a special guest, Charity Wilson. No relation.
No.
No, but we're probably brothers and sisters from another mother or father somewhere down the road, right? Charity, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about yourself so our audience can get to know you.
I would love to. Thank you for having me. I am honored. I'm also a proud introvert who sometimes is disguised as an extrovert. But I grew up in this area, and I am currently on staff at Hillside Christian Church. I do everything that involves kids, birth to fifth grade. Love it. My background, I was first a music therapist before anything. Then I taught elementary and special education for a little while. And so honored and grateful that the Lord has woven all of those things together. Ended with a master's from seminary in counseling. And so kind of gotten the honor to do a lot of things and be a part of a lot in the church. And just excited to share what little I've learned about myself.
Awesome.
In the church. So
well, we're glad you're with
That's
us.
Cool.
Thanks.
And I hope you don't mind me mentioning, because I don't want to upstage you or anything, but
sure.
But you're also related to the late Father Ken Keller. Yes,
yes I am. He was my uncle by marriage, and I loved him dearly. Loved his work in the church.
Yes.
I have such high respect for all that he did.
Yeah, Neely has such fond memories of Father Ken.
He was amazing.
Yeah. Well, we thank you for being here with
us. Thank you.
All right. Well, let's just jump in, why don't we?
Yes.
So, Charity, why do one-on-one or smaller connections feel so meaningful for so many introverts?
That's a great question. I would say that one-on-one connections, because an introvert values genuine relationship and wants to be vulnerable, but being vulnerable with many is difficult. It is stretching. Being vulnerable with one is easier than being vulnerable with the many. And once you have gone so far to stretch yourself and be vulnerable with one, now, like, they're yours for life. Mm-hmm. There's a loyalty to introverts that says, I have gone to this length to open myself up to you. We're in it together from now on.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, when I find somebody that I connect with, I hate to say it this way, but I basically latch onto them. I'm like,
yes,
okay, you're mine now.
Yes.
We're going to be friends. This is what's happening.
Yeah, absolutely. If I'm going to exert the energy to have communication with someone,
yes,
then I want something to be meaningful. I want there to be some depth. Mm-hmm. I don't want to just talk about the weather or,
mm-mm,
you know,
mm-mm,
them cowboys.
That's right. Yeah,
that's not
right.
A very long conversation.
No,
anyway.
It's not.
No,
sadly.
Charity, can you share like a story or maybe share something like a friendship or a mentorship, mm-hmm, that helped you deepen your faith as an introvert?
Absolutely. I would say there's two that come to mind. One is another fellow introvert and one is an extrovert. And I strongly feel that every introvert needs an extroverted friend that understands them.
Amen.
Because that, in the best way, has challenged me, because she will ask questions that I wouldn't think of.
Mm-hmm.
And she's learned to give me space to think, mm-hmm, and not rush me. Nothing makes me feel panicked like being peppered with questions. Like if this feels like an interrogation, if I don't have time to think, then I want to be out.
Yeah.
But she has learned me enough that she will say, hey, I really want to know about this struggle you've admitted to having. Where are you at with that? And then she'll just be silent. Even though it's painful for her as an extrovert to be silent, she's so gracious to allow that and to give me time to think and to honestly to pull me out, like to stretch. Well, have you thought of it this way? Well, have you considered this? And she prays for me, which is honestly the most meaningful thing, no matter who the friend is. Finding someone who will pray with you, pray for you, nothing makes me feel safer to share what I'm feeling and where I am than knowing they're going to go to the Father in prayer over it. I would say my introverted friend that I'm very close to, that has been meaningful because we can go on a trip together and we know that we're going to have deep conversation, but we also know there's going to be moments of silence. And we're fine if we just exist in the same, you know, car traveling on a road trip and we don't talk for an hour.
Yeah.
And that is so mean. It gives me a chance to think and to contemplate, having space to contemplate the question and permission to say, I don't know. Can I think about that for a few days? And then having that person come back and say, okay, it's been a few days.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you at? They don't let it go, which is helpful. If they don't circle back, I might not bring it back up, but they know to circle back. Mm-hmm. Give me space, but circle back.
That's one thing I always struggled with, especially when I worked at the university, is especially when, you know, something just kind of came out of nowhere that we had to tackle and we have to have an emergency meeting and we're like, okay, what are our solutions? And I'm just like, I don't know. Yes. I need some time to think about this because, you know, I want it to be intentional. I want it to be genuine, whatever it is that we decide to do. And for me, that was always hard to do unless I had time to think about it, you know, or confrontations that I had with parents or students, you know, they're coming at me and, you know, with this, that, or the other thing. So, anytime I was, you know, put on the spot about something, I'm like, I really need time to think about that. Or I dealt with it and then was laying in bed in the middle of the night and I should have said that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. That's where I always envy my extroverted friends who always have an answer in 6 seconds. And I'm like, how do you do that? But I was thinking about your comment on taking a road trip with introvert versus extrovert, and both can have their, you know, benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're talking about, I love, you know, hanging out with extroverted friends because they carry the conversation and I just can get to go, yeah, and just add a little boom, little shot here, shot there. Mm-hmm. But I know that they're going to carry the conversation. Whereas if it's my introverted friends, we, like you said, we might spend 2 hours in the car quiet on the way somewhere and it might be nice. The other pressure, though, is when I'm with someone that's extroverted, the pressure to, you're just like, I just would like to be quiet for 30 minutes because I have no energy left.
That's right. It's so relatable. There was a time recently that some of our staff were standing around getting ready for Easter, and someone asked the group, why is Easter meaningful to you? And everybody in the circle had an answer so fast.
Mm.
And I was busy listening to what their answer, what I genuinely want to hear what their answer is. We got to me, I know there's some obvious answers I could give, but I wanted to reflect well and give a good personal answer to me, not just the Sunday school answer.
Mm.
And it took me about 2 weeks. And 2 weeks later, I woke up and I was like, I know my answer to the question. So I went back to them and I said, I have my answer to the question. They're like, what question? Like, they've moved on.
Yeah.
I'm like, you've been thinking about that for 2 weeks? Yeah. I got it.
What was the answer? I just want to know.
Oh, gosh, no. We don't have time for that. We don't have time for that on this podcast.
Oh, my gosh. I know. It's like peanut butter eggs.
Yes.
Jesus redeeming blood. I'm sitting there going.
Right.
Grandma's homemade
right.
ham?
Need a minute.
All right. How can introverts use their strength for deep listening to serve others spiritually?
Mm-hmm. So, in my experience, introverts are really great at observing the room. Mm-hmm. And I'm often asked when I leave, like, a staff meeting of multiple people around the table, I'm the quieter one. I'm not as quick to speak up, but it's because I'm listening and I'm reading. Oh, this really matters to you. Oh, this person matters less to you. I can figure that out. Mm-hmm. And my extroverted peers will come to me and say, hey, what happened in this room? Like, what'd you see? Because what happened when so-and-so shut down and didn't? And I said, well, it's because when you said this, they were thinking this and this. And how did you know all of that? Mm-hmm. But it comes intuitively when you can read a room. And so, first of all, that gives you insight into people. Mm-hmm. You can read people and determine, hey, I think that we are like-minded. I think that what matters to you matters to me. And then I would say, as you're in the church, one thing that I do just a little bit on the side, using a little bit of my counseling background, is I volunteer as an on-call chaplain at Northwest Hospital. And so a couple of nights a week, I might get called in the middle of the night. I'm walking in. I have no idea who this family is. They're in crisis, and it's their worst day of their life, right? I don't know their story. I don't know their faith background completely. Like, I don't know much. But to walk in, the hardest part is to introduce myself and just get past that little hurdle.
Right.
But once I'm there, what I've discovered is that if I just sit with them, just the ministry of presence and listening, I don't have to say anything. I don't have to fill the silence. I don't have to have the right answer, but they will start talking because this is the thing that they're walking through, and I'm safe, and I might feel the time passing, but you know, when you're in crisis, time slows down and you're not aware of it. And so they will often, if I give them just a minute, 2 minutes of silence, they will just start talking, and I don't have to have an answer. My role is to listen and to hand them a tissue and then to pray with them, but I don't have to talk. Mm-hmm. And that's a beautiful thing. That's what they need. They don't need someone to come in and fill with words.
Right.
They need just presence and comfort and the knowledge that the Lord is with them too. And that's what you're bringing to that moment. Mm-hmm. So,
one thing that always stood out to me about Roman, before I even started working here, anytime I would see him and his wife at church or anywhere in Amarillo, is he didn't always just ask me, how you doing? Mm-hmm. He would ask me, how's your soul? Mm-hmm. And so when I see that question, how can introverts use their strength for deep listening to serve others spiritually? The first time that you asked me that question, Roman, I was like, first I was taken aback. I'm like, well, first of all, how do I even answer that question? But later on, I was reflecting upon that, and I was like, you know what? That is an opportunity for deep relationship with somebody, mm-hmm. is asking a question that's so much more meaningful than how you doing? 'Cause, you know, we all go into that autopilot of, mm-hmm. oh, yeah, I'm fine.
Yes.
Good to see you.
Yeah.
And then you just keep going, right? You know, I recognize in you, Roman, when you ask that question, you're doing so, at least, you know, and correct me if I'm wrong, but when you ask that question, you're prepared to spend some time with me if mm-hmm. the moment necessitates that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a question you ask in passing. Like, it's mm-mm. not someone you see on the street and, hey, how's it with your soul?
Right.
Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, you might get an hour-long conversation out of that. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking, as you were talking, I was thinking how necessary and needed in this driven social media, even in the political world. Mm-hmm. Everybody's talking all over each other. No one's listening. They're spending their time preparing the answer that they're going to give. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I may cut you off mid-sentence mm-hmm. to go ahead and give my answer. Mm-hmm. And so how critical the gift of being present with someone is, mm-hmm. sure, I may need some feedback. But gosh, I feel like feedback is like guitar players. I'm just speaking as one that is a guitar player. They're a dime a dozen. They're everywhere. Everybody plays guitar. And feedback, it may not be good feedback, just like it might not be good guitar playing. But I have plenty of people that can give me feedback. Mm-hmm. But I've said before, I'm like, you could almost make an occupation out of being a professional listener. And I don't mean counselor. I mean mm-hmm. just a listener, mm-hmm. someone that would just come in and listen. Mm-hmm. And you might even be surprised how at the end of an hour, someone may be like, thank you so much. That helped me. Now I know what to do. I didn't say anything.
Yes.
Because the answer was already inside of you and you just needed someone to just be with you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think that because we're so used to giving quick, short answers to people who ask, that the more that someone sits with an introvert who will ask the next question that goes a little deeper, and we're comfortable waiting. Mm-hmm. Very comfortable waiting for you to think it through. And if I sense you gave me the microwave answer, I might ask, say more. Mm-hmm. Is that truly all? Is there more? And I turn that conversation into an oven, a slow cooker. Like, let's be slower. Let's slow down because I'm comfortable with waiting. And people genuinely long for that, even if they don't know they long for that. They mm-hmm. long for one step further. We are all very good at telling the first 50% of something and maybe 75%, but very few of us go all the way to the last 2%. And to be able to ask that of someone, to be safe enough to listen and not have to solve it so that they can unravel truly what they're thinking and what's at the core of it, we just don't take time in our lives to do that. Mm-hmm. So,
well, and God made us to be in communion with one another.
That's right.
And to find connection. And I think we've just gotten to a point in our world where we shy from that. We mm-hmm. run from it. So, mm-hmm. yeah. So then we give those real quick microwave answers mm-hmm. because that's what we're comfortable with.
Yes.
But God intended for us to connect with one another. And so that means that you have to answer those more open-ended questions. You have to ask probing questions to get even deeper than that. And yeah, it takes time. Like, you can't just ask, hey, how's your soul? And be done in 5 minutes.
That's right.
Right? Mm-hmm. You have to be willing to be open to that deepness, that mm-hmm. that meaningful one-on-one life of communion.
That's right.
Yeah, and I think we live in a culture where we start kind of in the place of doubt. If someone says, hey, how you doing? It's not, I don't know that it's cognitive, like they don't really care. That's a whole other podcast. Mm-hmm. But there's that, oh, I'm good, because you know, that's the throwaway line. That's the, hey, instead of just walking up and going, I don't really care about how you're doing, let's just talk business. It's just the customary, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
Fun. Okay, now we can move on to the real, like, why I'm here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So slowing down a little bit, and I've tried it a couple of times with people, and I'm like, hey, how you doing? And they're like, oh, I'm good. And I'm like, okay, how you really doing? Mm-hmm. And then it's like the dropping of the shoulders, the sigh, mm-hmm. and they're yeah. like, well, I mean, to be honest.
Almost like a sigh of relief, yeah, even right. though they may be going yep. through something.
That's yep. right.
Yeah. Charity, what do you think, what small intentional actions can help introverts build authentic relationships in their church, in their parish, mm-hmm. just in community life in general?
I think that I would say step one would be to identify someone that you think you might connect with. Because we are always observing and listening, reading the room, I bet everyone can think of one person that they've thought, I think we're similar. Mm. Or they've listened to a response that that person has had and thought, oh, we're walking through similar things in our faith journey. And then the hardest part is making that first initial ask, mm-hmm. Because it requires courage and risk. And so I typically start with something like, hey, I would love to get to know you more. We seem to be headed in the same direction or similar way of thinking about our faith journey, and I'd love to just know you more. Mm-hmm. Can we get coffee? And then I think of some questions ahead of time because that helps me, one, to know what I'm going to ask, but two, to know my own answer, because inevitably someone will always turn it back and say, well, what about mm-hmm. you? And so to help me, I think through questions first, not just small talk kind of questions, but the questions that I really want to know about, are we going to make a good inner circle friendship here? Mm-hmm. I would ask things like, hey, what has your faith journey looked like up till now? And let them just kind of tell their story. Mm-hmm. And I sort of prepare for myself, what is the 30,000 foot view of my faith journey? And if I'm feeling really comfortable and safe with this person, then what is the like deep in the weeds mm-hmm. version of my story?
Right.
And it might lead to that, but I personally think through, I think I feel great sharing this part mm-hmm. based on what I know. And I might ask, you know, what are you wrestling with in your faith right now? And then just listen and go a little deeper with that. What is your favorite passage in scripture? You know, what is something that brings you joy right now? And those kind of questions, you know, you're really just risking one coffee. And but I bet that once you do that, you learn so much about them that you're like, oh, okay, I think this person mm-hmm. genuinely we can have conversation with. And once I've done that, like we said before, they're my person for life now. Like mm-hmm. we've talked these things through, we've been vulnerable, and now the hardest part for an introvert is to have to rehash all the, like, retell everything.
Yeah.
I love when I can sit down with someone. I don't have to explain. They just know intuitively, because we've talked about it once before, mm-hmm. why I would feel this way, mm-hmm. why I would have this hang up or this struggle. I don't have to re-explain. I don't have to tell the backstory again. And that's mm. safe and great. But it just takes that initial ask, just one ask can be really worth it.
Yeah. What some of our audience might want to know, especially our introverts out there who may not be involved in their church community, mm-hmm. is, you know, if I'm more hesitant to engage in conversation, mm-hmm. to find that one person, mm-hmm. what are some ways that we can, I guess, find that courage or find that strength to push ourselves to actually engage in a deep conversation with somebody, with that one person that might be a person for us, you know?
I think it would start with being available.
Yeah.
Just being available. Like, put yourself in a situation where you're going to be around people that you might be interested in mm-hmm. knowing more. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I can't make a friend from my couch. Not an authentic friend anyway. So even if I don't engage in conversation yet, just being available. And then also looking at who is initiating conversation with me. And even if I felt awkward about it, because let's be honest, I just decide that I'm going to be the most awkward ahead of time. And that's fine. Like, if I'm already awkward, mm-hmm. then they feel less awkward, because I've been more awkward already. I'm just always awkward, and it's fine. So I embrace that, and most of the time I feel that more than anybody else.
Yeah.
They don't feel that. It's all internal. So knowing that is helpful. But if you look at who's initiating, who asked me how I'm doing, how is my soul? I don't know that I would have approached that person, but they approached me. Maybe I should go and ask and reciprocate at least,
right.
and say, well, how are you? You've asked me this before. That meant a lot. How are you? So thinking through it that way,
yeah.
whatever connection, honestly, there is in your local church or local parish to know who actually is more involved, and would they know someone? You could go to someone in leadership and someone who probably has a broader spectrum of who's here to say, is there anyone that you think might be like-minded? Is there anyone that you think I could probably connect with? Give them a second to think that through, and that might be helpful.
If I'm trying to connect with someone that I don't know, if I'm just meeting people, I'm sort of like you. I feel like, and probably no one else in the room is going to feel this way, I'm playing off of what you said, I feel like everybody's eyes are going, look at him, he's so awkward and weird.
Yeah.
And so I'm just embracing it and going, yeah, I'm the most awkward guy in the room.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I'll just make a game out of it. Of like, I'll have three or four questions that I'm like, this is an odd, weird question. And depending on, who you're around. But I'm normally looking for, if I'm really trying to connect with somebody, I want authenticity back. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to just ask the question. And if it hangs in the air awkward, even better. and so I may say something like, hey, my name's Roman. How's Jesus messing your life up right now?
Mm-hmm.
Just as a weird, or what's your favorite shade of blue? And it could be nonsensical, but really I'm looking at their answer back. If they take it too serious, I'm like, okay, we're probably not going to get along. But if they're relaxed in it, and they're like, oh, my favorite shade of blue is azure. And it's like, awesome. I love this person. Or if they really say, oh, man, Jesus is messing me up. Or I like the question, what's something you thought you already knew?
Mm-hmm.
That you just know, that recently you've learned, I didn't have a clue.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an interesting question. If people have to struggle a long time, and I know that's, you can catch people off guard with things. I'm not saying they have to have an immediate answer. But honestly, the more weird the question is, if someone asks me, like if someone asks me that, I'm like, that's great. Let me just fire right back.
Yeah.
Because I've probably thought the weird question more than if someone's like, so what do you think about the weather? I don't know. And I'm probably not going to know. But I might already have a ready-made answer of like, well, I'll tell you what I thought I used to know.
That's right.
Have
you guys ever heard of the introverted spiral?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so it's this idea that when you think of a spiral, you slowly get closer to center. So the introverted spiral is you engage, you enter into a social experiment, activity, moment, and then you need to retreat. You need to retreat for a minute, and that's actually healthy for an introvert to do. Because if you just force yourself to stay fully in the social circle, now we are exhausted, drained, not ourselves, and we want to be genuine, but now I feel like I'm having to fake it to be able to make it through this. So there is something really healthy. Extroverts may not understand the retreat because they can just be there. And that's fine. That's how they were created. But we have to circle back in, retreat, compose ourselves, think, get it to be like, okay, build back our energy, then re-engage. Mm. And it's important that we re-engage. That's, I think, where often some can get stuck is in the retreat. And now I just, because it's uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to, if I don't have to stay in that forever. I can engage with it. I can come back. And then you slowly circle in closer and closer every time until you found, oh, this is the person. And now we're locked in.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that's what it was called, but I practiced that religiously.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yes. See?
I feel like the other introverts in the room if you're like, did you notice the caulking in the bathroom? Because I've been in there like three times now.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
It's gray.
If you have not retreated to a bathroom, then what are you even doing?
Yeah, exactly.
They should take down the bathroom sign and put introvert.
That's right.
Lounge.
Wow. Yeah,
that's right. There. Silence.
David
no talking.
And I hanging out in the bathroom.
Don't make
Look
eye contact.
Look at the ceiling.
That's an interesting tile.
Yeah.
It's so real. But just even knowing, I mean, I love Sundays. I love them because the Lord has called me to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But by the end, like Sunday afternoon, mid-afternoon, I'm done with church and pastoring and all the things by like 1:30. I need a minute. Mm-hmm. And so my friends and my family know Sunday afternoons, my phone is on do not disturb. I might not nap, but I'm not talking to, I'm not responding to a text because it has taken all of me to do that. Mm-hmm. And then I retreat. And then by Sunday evening, if I needed that, like I can. Yeah. But if I try to power through a full day of that, I need to take Monday off. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like there's just, that's a lot of peopling yep. in one morning.
Curiosity question.
Yeah.
I know you've probably known you were an introvert most of your life, or at least you came to the realization mm-hmm. early enough to know. But have you noticed as you get older that you become more introverted?
Yes.
Or I don't even know if that's the right word, that I have less energy capacity.
Yes.
I'm probably not any more introverted than I was, but my batteries don't last as long as they used to.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. I would say so. I think that, you know, in your 20s, you just have a different mm-hmm. get it done factor that you're trying to go for.
Yeah.
Now that I'm in my 40s, I'm fine. Yeah. Like I've always loved a night at home. Now I know myself well yeah. enough to say
yep.
if I have more than the majority of my nights need to be at home. Mm-hmm. So that means three of my nights can be committed to mm-hmm. ministry or friends, but four nights a week I have to be at home mm-hmm. to refill.
Yep.
And I wouldn't have said that in my 20s for sure.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. It's like you were saying, 20s, 30s. Mm-hmm. I fully knew and had to have a pressure valve. My 40s came, and somewhere in there, pressure valve went, and yes. and I realized that's when I first started going, if yes. I was in a social setting too long, I'd have to leave mm-hmm. and breathe because I was like, I don't know what's wrong with me. Mm-hmm. What is wrong with you? Are you okay? Are you having an anxiety attack?
Right.
And for a while, I thought that's what it was. And then I just mm-hmm. realized, no, mm-hmm. your batteries don't last as long as they used to. Because mm-hmm. you're fine for 10 minutes. You're fine for 20. That's you just right. can't do an hour anymore.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Anyway. Well, and I think, too, we also get more comfortable with who we are as we
Absolutely.
Get older. We understand ourselves more than maybe we did in our 20s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we know what our limits are.
Yes.
And because, I mean, I can tell you in my 20s, I did a lot more things then than I do now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the energy piece was probably a big part of it. But then also, like, I was still exploring, you know, who I was.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. And trying to find my place. And now that I kind of have an idea of what my place is in this world, like I don't need to go out, sail on a boat and exploring the different lands across the sea. You know,
right.
I know what I'm comfortable with. I know what my limits are.
Right.
And so I'm going to respect myself enough to
that's right.
to stick to those limits, you know.
And probably more okay saying no.
Yeah.
Like I feel like I caved to social pressure more when I was younger. And mm-hmm. now I'm like, no, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
No one is genuinely going to be upset with me for saying I'm not able to do that.
Mm-hmm. And you pick up tricks along the way. We're talking about this. If I'm going to be in a social setting, a dinner party, my least favorite thing, if I'm with an extroverted friend,
yes.
I have much longer longevity.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
I can be there 2 hours if I can just go, yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think. Mm-hmm. And they're just carrying all of it. And we're like playing off each other. And I'm like, I love this.
You yeah.
know, it gives me extra battery life.
It really does.
Yeah.
Well, so let's go ahead and start wrapping this up. Now, what is one way that extroverts or church leaders can support us introverts?
Mm-hmm.
And you being a church leader, you might have some thoughts into this. And,
yes, I do. Yeah. I do. I lead a women's Bible study that Neely got to join for a little while. Mm-hmm. Loved her. And I always begin leading that with, hey, who in the room feels like you're more extroverted? Raise your hand.
Mm.
I start with the extroverts on purpose. Okay, so the rest of you, you don't have to raise your hand. We now know that you're an introvert. And I say, let's talk about how that feels. If we're studying the word together, we're going to read this passage and we're going to say, all right, what stands out to you from this passage? Who in this room would be the first to answer most likely? And all the extroverts raise their hand. I said, that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But what I want us to know is that the introverts will need more time to think about their answer, especially if everyone's talking. They're listening to what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And so I want everyone to have equal opportunity to come to reflect and let the Spirit lead them to what they should express. And in order to do that, we need some space. So extroverts, just be aware that your silence is the introvert building the courage to say what's on their mind. Right. And they need that. And if you jump ahead, then they will never say anything. They'll go the whole 12 weeks of this Bible study and not speak once. And the truth is, they're probably fine with that.
Yeah.
But I want them to have a chance. Like, we grow when we, there's something different when we say something out loud, you know, admit that I saw this, or I have a question about the word with this. And it takes space to do that. And introverts know, like the extroverts, that silence is killing them. Like, there's just everything in them just wants to speak. And so just be aware of that. And let's love each other in that way. Be kind to one another in that way so that everyone can grow from this experience. So it's an awareness of knowing the room and how it's going to feel, and just speaking to the elephant in the room for everybody's sake, rather than just moving on ahead and never acknowledging how an introvert can interact in that setting. So that's one way that I feel is confident. Would y'all add to that? I'm curious.
I just think for church leaders to grow in your understanding of the superpowers that introverts have, because we certainly understand the superpowers that extroverts have. Mm-hmm. I'm very aware of what I'm not capable of doing. Mm-hmm. At a summer camp, I can't get up on stage in front of everybody and clown with the kids and just be like, wah, wah, and hype. Right. I'm like, I'm not going to be that guy. I can be on stage, but it's going to be talking, captive audience. Y'all aren't interacting with me. You're just listening. But knowing, you know, each other's superpowers, I understand an extrovert's going to walk in and light up the room. And I'm going to be right behind you, and I need you. Can I hold onto your shirt tail? Because I understand your superpower. And so, and then understanding ours, that we're going to, if someone's talking, we're going to be listening. Mm-hmm. And you could learn from that as well. Mm-hmm. And not one being more superior than the other, but just
that's
like,
right.
Man, just...
Well, the Lord gave us different gifts.
Yeah, I need your gifts, and I realize I do.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
And I also realize, we've talked about this in previous podcasts, but I also realize that I need my extroverted friends to go, hey, we're going out. Or I'll just stay at home constantly.
Yeah.
So, because that's going to be my natural default. So.
Yeah, for me, what I feel is most important is that our church leaders realize that not everybody can be lumped into one group, right?
Right.
And I truly believe that they know this, but I think just in the busyness of the day-to-day, it's just so easy to forget that that all of the people in our churches, they're all different. Even our extroverts, each individual person is different, and they bring something unique to the table. And I think if our church leaders, whether they're extroverted or introverted, are always mindful of that fact and always, like you said, seeing who has what strengths and where they can be used in the church, I think you're going to have a more fruitful church community. That way. I mean, the Bible tells us that as leaders, as teachers, as whatever our role is, that we have a bigger responsibility, right? Mm-hmm. And in this case, I think that bigger responsibility is recognizing that everybody's different, that some people are louder than others, some people are quieter than others, some people have this to bring, some people have that to bring, and being so aware of that, that you're able to find help them find their place in church community. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say, lastly, that introverts, I don't have a statistic to back this up, but I am betting that introverts are the most likely to fall through the cracks and to be not easily missed because they weren't the loudest in the room.
Right.
And so for a church leader to notice and pay attention to when someone hasn't been there, and hasn't engaged in a minute, to follow up with them and acknowledge, hey, I know that you haven't been here and I've missed you. Mm. How can I help you reengage with church life, with faith, with whatever that might be? Because they just are so behind the scenes. We prefer to be a little bit more behind the scenes, that when we aren't there, it's not as noticeable at first. But it takes an awareness to watch for that.
Charity Wilson from Hillside Christian Church has been our guest today on The Introverted Apostle. Charity, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Yeah, you did great.
So honored.
I just want to remind y'all that even a whisper can move mountains.
Welcome to The Introverted Apostle, the podcast for Christian introverts who love Jesus, maple syrup, and their faith, but struggle with the social side of church life. I'm a proud introvert. I don't know what's wrong with me, David.
Just say it. I'm Roman Asbill. I'm a proud
introvert. I'm Roman Asbill, and I mess up.
And as always, I just want to remind you all that
that the air conditioner pops on.
That the air conditioner is really loud.
I don't think so. No, 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 no. I don't think so. No, 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 no. It's never, ever, 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 ever gonna happen.